Michael Francis, and my background, quite simply, I was born and raised in Brooklyn, New York. My father was a major organized crime figure. He was actually the underboss of one of the five mafia families in New York, the Colombo family. So I kind of grew up in that environment. My dad was constantly under government surveillance. He was constantly a target of law enforcement. I honestly grew up really disliking the police and disliking the government because I loved my dad, and my dad was always a target of law enforcement. He was indicted several times for several crimes. He went to trial three times during my childhood. He was acquitted, found not guilty in all those cases. But then in 1966, my dad was arrested and tried in a major federal case for masterminding a nationwide string of bank robberies. After a lengthy trial, he was convicted and he was sentenced to 50 years in prison. And my dad went off to do that time when I was 18 years old. And I was a pre-med student, actually, in Hofstra University in New York, when my dad was convicted and sentenced and sent away. I was devastated because I loved my father very much. He was a good father, despite whatever else he was doing in his life. And as a result of that, I dropped out of school and entered also the mob life to try to help my dad get out of prison. My dad ended up doing 40 years out of the 50 in prison. I ended up becoming a major figure in organized crime myself, and I was part of that life for about 20 years. And I myself was arrested 18 times during that time. I was indicted or charged with crimes seven times. I went to trial five times. I was either acquitted or my cases were dismissed in every case. I was never convicted in that regard. But then in 1985, I took a plea on a major racketeering case for defrauding the government out of tax on every gallon of gasoline. I got a 10-year prison sentence. I had $15 million in restitution. I had $5 million in forfeitures of my assets, so a total of $20 million. And I ended up doing 8 years on the 10, which is the maximum amount you do with good time. And then at a point in time, I decided to change my life, walk away from that life. And I've been able to do that successfully. I married a young woman in 1985. She was 20 years old. And we're now celebrating this year our 40th wedding anniversary. So we've been married for 40 years. I love my wife very much. If I didn't meet her, I'd probably be in prison or dead, you know. So either way, you know, it's that young woman that saved my life in many ways, because I walked away from the life because of her. And basically, that's the story in a nutshell. I've written five books. They're doing a major movie on my life now. It's in production fairly soon. I've done a number of television shows. I have a big YouTube channel. It's at Michael Francis. I'm on Rumble. I'm on Instagram, all the social media platforms. I've been speaking all over the world for the past 30 years, sharing my testimony, trying to help young people. I speak in prisons and juvenile halls and speak to a lot of these young gangbangers who have lost their way and, you know, think that the right way to go is to be involved in criminal activity on the street. And I certainly dissuade them from doing that. And, you know, I've been very blessed, very fortunate in my life. I am a person of faith. I've given my life over to God while I was in solitary confinement for almost 3 years. I came out of there a very strong believer in Jesus Christ, and he's been my hero and my encouragement for the past 30 years. And, you know, that's in a nutshell. That's a very short story for a very long story. So, you know, I could add a lot more, but I don't know if you want to open it up for questions or how you want to deal with this.
Yeah, well,
I'm certainly at your disposal.
We can open it up for questions, and we're going to share all those links so the kids can learn more after the fact. But God is good. You have a wonderful testimony. I've heard it multiple times. We're going to just jump right into some student questions because these kids sent me questions ahead of time. This is Luca, and Luca is in Spain. You had a good question. Go ahead and ask Michael.
Hi, Michael.
How are you?
Yeah, very good, very good. So I watched many videos about you, and my question is, what was the turning point that made you decide to change your life and stop doing crime?
Well, it's kind of complex. I mean, I love my wife. I met this young girl, she was 20 years old, and I wanted to marry her. And that life is a bad life. And I say it this way, I don't want to call the men bad because I was one of them, and there were a lot of guys there that I truly loved and I cared for. But the life is bad because I don't know any family of any maid member of that life, guys that actually were part of it, that took an oath and became swore allegiance to that life, like myself. I don't know any family of any member of that life that hasn't been totally devastated, including my own. Now, not my wife and kids, I've been able to spare them of that. But my father ended up doing 40 years in prison. My mother passed away at the age of, in 2012. After being without her husband for almost 40 years. And at the end of her life, her relationship with my dad was ugly because she blamed him for everything that went wrong in her ro life, and rightfully so, because he was a member of Cosa Nostra, mafia. Now, what went bad? Well, I had a younger sister, 27 years old. She died of an overdose of drugs. My brother was a drug addict, my younger brother, for 25 years. And he put our family through a lot. He put me through a lot just trying to keep him alive throughout that time. My younger sister, 40 years old, she was never mentally stable. She couldn't handle all the turbulence in our life, and she passed away at the age of 41. So my whole life was destroyed, my family life, and every family I know of, every member of that life meets the same fate in a different way. So when I met this young girl, I said, why am I going to put her through the same fate that all these other people have gone through? I'm a major target of law enforcement. The government wants to put me in jail. Eventually, it's going to happen. I'm going to go down. So I decided to choose her and try to have a life with her and walk away from that life. So that was really the turning point. And then becoming a person of faith, I was very inspired by the Bible. And by my Savior Jesus Christ, as I spent 3 years in solitary studying the Bible, studying other faiths, and I came to the conclusion that Christianity was the one true faith, and I've been practicing that for over 30 years. And I believe that God showed me through all of this that He had a different plan and a purpose for my life. I've been speaking all over the world. I've spoken at over 2,000 events, many churches, many juvenile halls. I work with all the pro sports, Major League Baseball, the NBA, NFL, NHL. I've spoken at over 300 universities throughout the country over the past several years. So I have a message of encouragement that's inspiring to people. And I believe that's what God planned my purpose or his purpose in my life to be. And so far, I'm 74 years old. I will be in May. And God has blessed me in countless ways, so that was the reason, and hopefully you understand
Absolutely. And you look like an incredibly young 74. You do not
that.
look 74. We have a question from Africa. This is Kenza. She sent this in. Kenza, go ahead and ask. And you can delve into this question how much you want, Michael. Go ahead, Kenza.
So basically, I read a lot of books that are mafia type books, but I don't know if it's like accurate or not, so I just wanted to know how are relationships or like mainly marriage like organized in the mafia, within the mafia, like is it arranged and stuff?
She wanted to know if there were organized marriages within the mafia. It was an awfully specific question. It was from books that she had read.
That might have been a practice in Italy in the mafia long ago. I don't think it's the practice today. It was never the practice in the United States. There were never arranged marriages. Obviously, we did marry sometimes the daughter of a friend that was part of that life, but it wasn't arranged. No, that didn't happen. I think that might have happened in Italy many, many years ago, but never here in the United States, not that I'm aware of.
This is an awfully specific question. Okay,
Yes.
we have a question from Pavlo in Ukraine by way of Switzerland. Zrasvoyte, Pavlo, go ahead and ask your question.
Hello. So it's a pleasure to meet you. And my question is, based on your experience in business, what are some of the most valuable lessons you've learned that have shaped your approach to success?
Well, business and personal life, they kind of intertwine. What I mean by that is if your personal life is in order, you have a much better chance of having your business life in order, because quite often your business life is a reflection of your personal life. So I always say, get your personal life in order first. You know, put things in the right perspective. Put your family first. Make sure you give them the right amount of time that you should be spending them with them. I have so many men that have been successful in their business in a way, but their family life has fallen apart. It doesn't work that way. You always have to have your family right first. So, but some of the lessons that I learned that I want to share with all of you young people, and I do this quite often, I speak to a lot of young people, sometimes in juvenile halls and prisons at different events, and I tell them there are two things that you need to get right in your life. And if you get these two things right, there's a good chance that you're going to go on to have a successful life. Number one, remember this, it's the most important message I can give to all of you, I think. In this world, we are who we hang out with. The people that we associate with are extremely important. If you surround yourself with people that are leading you in the wrong direction, you might think that you're the light in the dark, but eventually they're going to get to you and you're going to go their way. I've seen it happen too often. It happened to me. When I surrounded myself that were with people that were involved in criminal activity, I too became a criminal. So you have to surround yourself with the right people. That's very, very important. People that care about you, that do the right thing, that want to influence you in the right way, and you in turn can influence them properly. That's number one. Number two, this is very important. Who you are accountable to in life is going to direct the path that you are in life. And what do I mean by that? Accountability is so vital. When I was on the street and in the mafia, I was accountable to the oath that I took. And I was accountable to my boss. And therefore, I was a criminal. I was involved almost on a daily basis in criminal activity, and it didn't work out good for me. When I left that life, I became accountable to my God first, and then to my wife, to my children, because I don't want to disappoint them. I don't want to go back to prison. I don't want to do the wrong thing. I don't want my behavior to reflect negatively on them. I want to be right for the people that rely on me and that look up to me. So who you are accountable to and the people that you hang around with are very important, both in your personal life and in your business. From accountability, a lot of things flow from that. When you're accountable to the right person or entity in life, like to God, all good things flow from that. Respect, honor, integrity, discipline. You get taught that by the right accountability partner that you have in life. So this applies to your personal life and to your business. So if you can remember those two things, it will be vitally important to you, who you hang with and who you're accountable to. And you have to be bold in life. When you see people are leading you in the wrong direction, I know when you're young, it's hard, you have peer pressure and all of that. You have to be the one to stand up. You don't have to make a public announcement, but you have to know when it's time to move away from people that are not doing the right thing with you, that are leading you down the wrong path. And accountability, get this right in your life first. I'm telling you, accountability is everything. We have to be accountable even to ourselves. Are we doing the right thing? Sometimes you have to look in the mirror and be honest with yourself. Because a lot of times we want to, you know, maybe not be honest with ourselves because we enjoy doing something that we shouldn't be doing and we justify it. You can't do that. You have to be honest with yourself and say, listen, this is not right for me. I have to make a change in direction. I did that, you know, with the mob life. And that's very, very important. So I hope you all understand that.
Absolutely. And we'll go with a couple more student questions and let you go, guys. Guys, we're going to get through as many as we can get. But one of the things I was kind of worrying about, like, or questioning about was when you came to Christ and you were born again, when you looked back, did you give yourself grace and mercy and forgiveness looking back on your past transgressions? What was that process like?
Well, you know, I've learned this, you know, before you can forgive others, you have to forgive yourself. It was very difficult for me to look back at some of the things I did and say, okay, all I have to do is say a prayer, repent my sins, accept Christ, and then I'm forgiven. That was very difficult. But as I understood scripture more and as I read the Bible more, both the Old and the New Testament, I realized the entire message of the Bible is about God's grace, God's mercy, and God's forgiveness. And if we seriously and sincerely, and remember the key word there is sincerely, because we can make believe, but God knows our hearts. We can't pull a scam on God. He knows when we're being sincere or not. So if we sincerely confess our sins and accept Christ, then we are forgiven. So if we know that Jesus, or that God is gracious enough to forgive us, we have to be able to forgive ourselves. Otherwise, we can't move on with a good conscience. So I believe I've been forgiven because I believe I'm sincere. And God will be the judge of that, of course, when we stand before Him. But I believe it. And as a result of that, I'm able to move forward because I believe my heart is secure in that, and sincere in that regard. And that's what everybody has to understand. Forgiveness is real. God's mercy is real. God's grace is real. We just have to buy into it and understand it. And we do that by learning scripture. And then, of course, being nourished with the Holy Spirit. We have to be nourished. We have to, I have guys that tell me, I don't have to go to church. Church is in my house. And I say, well, church is not in your house. Church is in church. Church is where you hear a great message from the pastor that prepares you for the stuff you have to deal with during the week that sometimes you don't know where it's coming from. Where you listen to great worship music, you give praise and honor and glory to our God because He's entitled to that. You deal with like-minded people. You have a cup of coffee in the, out in the lobby with people that are like-minded. It's very important to be nourished because you young people, I'm going to tell you this, you have more negative influences right here on your phone than I ever had as a kid growing up. Negative influences everywhere. Everywhere you turn, you can find something negative, something that's pulling you away from the right thing. So you have to stay on track. It's not hard work to do that. You just have to level your mind and conscience up and be aware of things, but nourishment is very important. It's like you nourish your body, you nourish your mind, you nourish your soul. It's very important.
That's very sound advice. We have a question. We'll go with a few more student questions. This is Charlotte in France. You had a good question. You can unmute to ask. Go ahead.
Hello, Michael. I was wondering, how was your relationship with your father when you decided to change your life?
Well, that's a very good question. My dad was very upset with me at first. He didn't know, didn't understand what I was doing. And normally, when people leave the life, they become witnesses against other people in the life, and they join the government, and they go into a witness protection program. I wasn't interested in doing that. I didn't want to hurt anybody. I wasn't mad at anybody. I just wanted out of the life. But a lot of people didn't understand that. And they said, we'd never heard of anybody doing that. And I'll tell you why. Most people that walked that left the life became government witnesses and then testified against their friends and their former associates. It's not what I was interested in doing. I just wanted to be out. So my father didn't understand it. It was about 10 years that we were apart and we didn't associate or communicate. And he was in jail some of that time, so was I. But then after 10 years, my dad and I met up. And he understood I wasn't trying to hurt anybody. I was just trying to preserve my family. And he kind of got it. And he couldn't publicly endorse that because he was still a part of the life. But privately, he did, and he understood. And we patched it up, I was very upset when my dad passed away at the age of 103. He passed away from COVID during the pandemic. But I love my dad, and he loved me. And it was sad the way, things had to be separated between us, but it all ended up okay.
Yeah, that's a happy ending on that one. Matteo in Italy, go ahead and unmute to ask your question, friend.
Hi, Michael.
Hello,
Yep.
Matteo.
I like to ask when you actually understood that the system in which you actually grew up was wrong, that it wasn't the right thing. And I saw recently American Godfather, in which you talk about your experience with a documentary. And I heard that you were present when was assassinated Joe Colombo. And I wanted to understand if these things are linked, if this event changed and made you understand the system is wrong, or if you matured that vision after with other experience.
Well, again, a good question. I have to say, Matteo, I love my homeland. My dad was born in Naples, Both my mom and my father's side all come from Napoli, and I go there every year, once or twice a year. I go to Italy. I love our homeland, so I have to say that. And my daughter will be married in Italy next year, one of my daughters, so we'll be back there. Very, very, very good question. I have to tell you, growing up, because I love my father, I almost idolized my father. I didn't like law enforcement. I hated them. I hated the government because I always saw them as trying to harass my dad and harass my family. So I grew up hating the system. When I got into the life, I believed in the life. It wasn't until I got involved that I started to see that, like anything else in the world, it was corrupt. I saw a lot of bad things happen to people that I thought it shouldn't have happened to. People die in that life, and I think you know that. I had friends that were killed in that life. When Joe Colombo was assassinated, I was about 12 steps away from him when those bullets rang out, and he dropped to the floor. And I love Joe Colombo. He was a mentor to me after my father went away. So it was a very eye-opening experience. I wasn't yet a part of the life, but I was heading in that direction. But even at that point, when Joe Colombo was shot, I still didn't see the bad parts of the life. It wasn't until I got involved and I started to see that. But I realized something, Matteo, and please understand this. Nothing in life is perfect. Everything gets corrupt. That's supposed to be a life built upon honor and respect and brotherhood. And it's corrupted. I saw people die for the wrong reasons. I saw people stealing from one another. But I want to make this clear to you. It's the same in everyday life. We have corruption in government. We have corruption at times in the church. We have corruption in corporate America. We have corruption in nonprofit foundations. Because people run these things and nobody is perfect and everybody is open to corruption in some way. We have to do our best not to have that happen, but it's a fact of life. We have to be aware of it. So, like anything else, after spending years in that life, I realized that this was not a good life and I had to make a change. But sometimes you have to experience something before you really get to understand it. And that's what happened in my case.
Yeah, certainly and absolutely. And we're looking forward to the movie and we'll be paying attention to all of your socials. We have two more student questions. Is that all right?
Sure. Yes.
This is Gabriel and he is in Africa. Gabriel, you can unmute to ask.
Yes. Hello. So the question that I would like to ask is, how should a man manage his emotions, in your opinion?
Well, I can tell you in the mob life, you must be in control of your emotions. When you lose your emotion, that's when you get in trouble. We have to be respectful from one another. Men that took that oath, made men, that's the term, have to be respectful for one another. We can't call each other names. We can't be abusive, even in an argument. We have to maintain control. The people that lost control in their life in that life normally lost their lives, and I really mean that. You have to know how to maintain your emotions, and it was one of the lessons that I learned in that life that really helped me throughout my legitimate life also. Maintaining control, maintaining your emotions all the time, it's critical in that life. And I've learned some very good things in that life. My father, I want to impart some wisdom on you. My father taught me something. He said, Michael, remember this, and this is biblical. Be very slow to pass judgment on someone because the judgment that you pass on somebody, when it's your turn one day, they will look at you the same way and they'll be the first to judge you unkindly. So I was always the last to pass judgment on somebody. I was always giving somebody an opportunity to redeem themselves. Number one, he always told me, always think before you talk. Don't just ramble and say things. Let the other people talk first. Be a good listener. And this is biblical. The book of Proverbs tells you that. They stress it. Be a good listener in life. So be the last one to judge somebody negatively and be a good listener in life. Vital throughout my time in that life. It really helped me survive and really prosper in that life.
Do you find that this is from me? Do you find that now that you're a follower of Christ, you're much more open to sharing and showing emotion? than the life you're in before because of Christ's agape, that Christ-like love for your fellow man?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, look, some people think that it's feminine for a man to cry. Look, when you have an emotion and somebody is something is troubling you, you take a tremendous loss in your life, there's nothing wrong with showing your emotion. I would have never done that in my former life. And as far as emotion, I think you don't want to really explode in anger no matter what life you're in. That's difficult. I think you should try to maintain control of yourself as best you could. But yeah, I'm more outward with my emotion. I speak much more freely now than I did back then. Back then, there was many things I wouldn't say. I just kept inside because sometimes expressing yourself in that life could be dangerous, especially when it involves other people. But now I'm more free to talk, and I think that's one of the reasons at least I've heard that consistently that people appreciate that in me, so I try to do that as best I can.
Very good, very good. Okay, our final student question. This comes from Italy in Milan.
I love
Maria,
Milan.
we have a lot of students in the Verona area. So if you're ever there, let us know and we'll give you a big welcome.
Absolutely.
Maria, go ahead and unmute to ask, my friend.
I have a question. Does the mafia in America is different from the mafia in Italy?
Yes, it is. And I'll give you an example. If you become a made member of the mafia in Italy, you're not automatically a made member here in the United States. And the same the other way around. So if you're made in America, we don't, you know, you're not from the same family as we are here in the United States. So they're two different organizations. They're similar in some respects and very, very dissimilar in others. For instance, in the mafia in Italy, they don't have a code where you don't hurt families and you don't go after law enforcement. They do that in Italy. We don't do that here. We don't ever touch family members. We don't ever go after law enforcement members. We don't do things like that. Here in the United States, during my time in that life, we were not allowed to be drug dealers. If we dealt with drugs, serious consequences. Some people were doing it, but they were doing it on the side. They weren't allowed to do it. In Italy, there is a big drug trade, from what I understand, and there always has been. So there's different things, but we do take the same oath and we do have the same underlying principle. We just operate differently.
So we have one final question from Italy. My apologies. I promised this kid and I forgot that he could ask this
Sure.
question. Bernardo, go ahead and ask your question, buddy.
So thank you for your sincerity. And I would like to ask if it was difficult for you to stay out of that life, and if there was anyone that was trying for you to come back or something.
Was it difficult for me to leave the life?
Yeah, and was anyone trying to pull you back in?
Yeah, it was very difficult. I felt that I betrayed my oath. I felt in a way that I betrayed my father. I would go to sleep at night, leaving the life, wake up in the morning, staying in the life. It took me years to really resolve that emotionally within myself. And yes, people tried to recruit me back as late as within the last few years. Obviously I've resisted that. When you take that oath, I took it very seriously, and I was really entrenched in the life, mentally, physically, every way. So it's very hard to make that break. I just didn't feel good about myself for quite some time, and it was a faith issue, and the support of my family that really let me get over that. But it was very difficult because I was very serious about the life at one point.
I can imagine. Before we go, guys, we'll have his website and all the information for you guys to check out more, and definitely check out edutainmentlearning.com. We have a lot of great speakers, Oscar-nominated actors, mega church pastors, professional athletes. Go ahead and sign up. It's open to everybody. But Michael, before we let you go, I ask this for all of our guests. What kind of advice would you have for these kids as they go off into the world and figure out what kind of lives they want to leave?
Well, one thing that's been very encouraging here in the United States, I don't know if you're aware of this, but statistically they've shown that Bibles are at an all-time high in sales. And it's Gen Z that's really looking into this because the question was asked, well, why are you looking for the Bible all of a sudden? And they're at an all-time high. And they said, we're looking for our purpose in life. And I think it's very important for young people to find their purpose at an early age. And the way you find that is by seeking it in the right place. Now, obviously, as a person of faith, I encourage everyone to read the Bible because, I do a Bible study online in my platform. I have a platform. It's michaelfrancis.com/family. And it's a community that we created of like-minded people. We put a lot of resources in there on leadership and business and so on and so forth. And we're creating a community because I think we have a lack of community and family in the United States. And we're trying to bring that together really worldwide. We have people from all over the world now. And I do a Bible study. We do once a week. I do it, try to do it twice a month. And the reason for that, I tell people, it doesn't matter if you're a Christian or not. There are very sound biblical principles in the Bible that help you get through many of the challenges and obstacles that you have in life. So any resource that you have that can set you up in a way to make you understand what your purpose is, you have to pursue. And I tell the young people that be in search of what your purpose is or God's purpose in your life is at an early stage. Try to take a lot of the noise out of there, that the distractions, because we have so many, and really seek what God's purpose in your life is at an early stage. And if you can do that, I found it later in life. If you can do that at an early point in your life, you really have a real advantage moving forward.
Solid, solid. And again, we'll be sharing all of that information and wish you all the best, sir. And they say in Jesus's language, Salaam Alaikum, peace be with you, sir. And before we let you go, I'm going to allow everyone to unmute to say thank you to Michael Francis for spending the time with us today. This recording will be available later on this week. And I'm going to end the meeting for all. So can we all say thank you to Michael for taking the time to talk to us today? Thank you so much,
Thank
sir.
you. Thank you.
Thank you very
Thank
much.
much.
Thank
you.
you.
Thank you.